The forest was shrinking, but the trees kept voting for the axe. For the axe was clever, and he convinced the trees that because his handle was made of wood, he was one of them. This Turkish proverb talks directly about how easily we can be tricked to our own demise. Nowadays in life, there are many different things that we can be fooled by, whether it be one of those random, hey, your Amazon delivery package is coming in, let us get your address, man, or an infomercial that you see on TV, or when you're driving down the road, you see one of those billboards. Another example is, everyone's heard this, hello, sir, we're trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. Now, luckily, if you're able to recognize these scams before it happens, you won't be affected. But if you don't see the scam coming, your life will be affected as long as they have your information. And they will always have your information. Now, we always need to be aware that there is one enemy, or axe, that tries to chop us down. If you'd like to join me in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. This reads, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We must be cautious of our worst enemy, the devil, for he is an axe that will chop us down. He will trick us in all sorts of ways to make us believe that he is our friend or that he has the easiest way out of everything. Twice in Job, chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, and Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and along with them came Satan. And when the Lord saw him, he questioned Satan, asking him where he came from. Satan responded, saying that he had been roaming the land. Both of these times, the Lord asked Satan about his servant Job, and Satan responded one of the times that the Lord kept a hedge around him, showing that the Lord protected his servant. Because of this statement, God allows Satan to manipulate Job's life. So Satan takes away all of Job's sons and daughters, he kills his sheep and his servant, and then he lets the Chaldeans steal his camels. Here we see that with the snap of his fingers, Satan took everything that made Job who he was. Now in Job chapter 2, once again, all the angels came together, and Satan joins them, and in this account, Satan tells God that if he were allowed to touch Job's bones and Job's flesh, or in other words, if he was to mess with Job's health, then Job would most certainly curse God. If you'd like to join me in Job chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. It reads, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Now first, we see Satan take everything away from Job and put him in a mental pain. But later on in here, we read that Satan puts Job in a physical pain. It is a pain that most of us could not imagine. Now, throughout the book of Job, we see a man that followed God, and he was protected by God, and he loses everything within a snap of Satan's fingers, yet he still stayed true to his God. This just shows how little Satan cares about us. He finds pleasure in us suffering and can make us suffer within a minute of us getting good fortune. Now, let's move over to Matthew. Here we read of another event. Jesus had a moment where Satan tried to tempt even him in the wilderness after fasting. In Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, if you would like to join me. It reads, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you fall down and you worship me. And Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered him. We see throughout this whole story, Satan tells Jesus multiple things he should do to prove that he is Jesus. For every temptation that Satan had, Jesus had a contradiction for Satan. Satan tried to chop Jesus down to prove him wrong, but Jesus resisted Satan's temptations, and this is the type of attitude we should have when it comes to Satan. We can resist and defeat Satan when he tempts us in the very same way that Jesus did. Jesus studied and knew the Bible and knew the Bible verses that helped to answer and defeat Satan's every temptation. In Psalms 119, verse 11, David said that he hid God's word in his heart so that he would not sin against God. This is exactly what Jesus did, and this is what we can do also. Now, because God knows that we are not perfect, he gives us many human versions of resisting the devil. A great example is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down to the king's image of gold. Because of this, all three would be put into the fiery furnace. We see this in Daniel chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. It says, Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselor, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We're shown here that because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not obey the king's command, because they did not bow down to sin, they were saved by the Lord. And when Nebuchadnezzar saw that there was another person in the fire beside the original three, he was astonished. He said, The fourth is like the Son of God. And after seeing this, Nebuchadnezzar prayed their God. He praised our God, who delivered them out of the furnace. The devil is like the axe in the old Turkish proverb. The forest was shrinking, but the trees kept voting for the axe was clever, and he had convinced the trees that because his handle was made of wood, he was one of them. The axe easily tricked the forest and to their own demise. The devil wants to do the very same thing to us. That is why we must do all that we can to resist the devil. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, reads, Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee us. We must draw near to God, for he will protect us. How can we draw near to God, though? To draw near to God, we must know who he is. To answer the question of who is he, join me in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word, and we must hear his Word. After we know who God is, we must repent of our sins, as it says in Acts 17:30, which says, Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands us to repent. After we repent, we must confess our faith, as we read in Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We must confess with our own mouth. After repentance, we must put on Christ in baptism, as it says in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Every one of us that is baptized in the name of Christ will put on the name of Christ and carry it everywhere we go. We represent him and his church. Finally, we must continually live faithfully and show Christ in all our actions, as it says in Revelation 2:10. This says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We will go through trials and temptations throughout life. It won't be easy, and while it may be painful or it may be sad, we must continue, because in the end, we will be given the crown of life by Christ. Another great part of Christ and of the church is that we have a family wherever we go. The church is our family, and it will always be there for us, even when we don't think we need it. Matthew 18:20 is a great verse about the church. It says, For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. God is with us when there are only two or three people gathered. God is there for us even when it's just a tiny little group. So he will always be there for us when we need him. If you would like to be drawn closer to God tonight through baptism, or if your trials or temptations have become too much for you to bear, please come to the front to talk to one of our preachers as together and as we stand and sing.